Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there. Just go to local programming, scroll down to Your Financial Choices, and peruse the content available. Our topic tonight is estate planning, basics and beyond. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I also meant to mention that today is October 30th, 2019, and that the markets were up today. The Dow closing at 27,186, the NASDAQ at 8303, and the S&P at 3046. We are fortunate this evening to have a guest. His name is attorney Ryan Fields. Ryan is an attorney with King Spry, focusing his practice in estate planning and estate administration. He earned his JD from the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law, where he served as a senior editor of the UNH Law Review. He earned his BS from Northeastern University. Mr. Fields proudly supports adults who have developmental or intellectual disabilities by volunteering with the Indian Creek Foundation. He's actively involved with supporting students in the Lehigh Valley through reading and mentorship programs and has spearheaded fundraisers for the Alzheimer's Association and the Philadelphia Police Foundation. He also volunteers with the legal clinic of the Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center. Ryan is also the Lower Milford Township Rep on the Board of Directors for the Southern Lehigh Public Library and is also a board member for Family Connections of Easton. He also serves as a board member for the Estate Planning Council of Lehigh Valley and ACE Mentor Lehigh Valley, a nonprofit organization that provides educational and experiential opportunities and scholarships for students interested in pursuing careers in architecture, construction, engineering, and related areas. Ryan is a busy boy. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you for having me. I realized how much of a mouthful that really is when you actually say all that out loud.
Yeah, but it's wonderful.
It is.
It's nice to be involved in the community, and especially with you doing estate planning, kind of all of this stuff overlaps. Estate planning can include some philanthropy and giving back in the community. So we really appreciate all those efforts that you're endeavoring in. Tell us, though, how did you land in the Lehigh Valley when I see that you went to school up in New Hampshire?
So the short answer to that question is my wife.
Okay.
And I have been married for 7 years to my wonderful wife, Christina. And when I came out of law school, she was already teaching in Allentown. So I didn't have a particular geographic area to go to at that point in time. So I started looking in this area and caught on with a fantastic attorney, a estate planning attorney named Bob Rust, who works in Allentown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I started my professional journey.
Okay, and we know each other from the Estate Planning Council.
Yes, we do.
So that is also a great organization, and we're happy to have this topic this evening because this past week was Estate Planning Awareness Week. So we're really excited as members of the Estate Planning Council to share this information with our listeners. Before we get started, and we're going to talk about estate planning basics tonight, folks, and a little bit beyond that, talking about maybe some examples of why it's not always just basic estate planning and why sometimes folks have to go and talk with an attorney about situations that are specific to them, which may require a little bit more in-depth estate planning. But Ryan, since you are younger and you've been married 7 years and you're just beginning some of the life stages I like to talk about, where you're nesting, maybe buying a house and all that, quite often young people don't always think about estate planning. Before we get started in estate planning basics, do you have any words to offer kind of our young professionals, the folks who might be in their, it really applies to everybody, but how do we get young professionals to be, or young folks in general, don't have to be professionals, could be anybody, how do we get them motivated to pay attention to their own estate planning? Do you have any ideas?
Sure. And we are in our heavy nesting phase right now, may I say. And I think that's a fantastic point because younger individuals, you're at a point in time where you still feel a little bit invincible and you're just not focused on things like estate planning. Even the phrase estate planning turns a lot of people off thinking that doesn't apply to me. That only applies to Bill Gates and all those people that have these big estates.
Or old people.
Yes, or old people. And nobody's technically an old person. So when you're younger, it can be just as critical. Because maybe if you're just recently married, you don't yet have joint bank accounts, or you tend to have younger children. So things to be aware of, like guardianships and how to avoid them if possible, are more critical maybe earlier in your life than later when you are maybe married longer or have joint accounts, older children, you're not worried about things going to a minor. So it becomes more critical maybe at that point in time to be thinking about these issues like having a will, having powers of attorney, and having these discussions.
That's great. That was a great answer. So what we want to do is talk about estate planning tonight. And I know that, you know, when I was looking on your website, for you particular, it said you like to tailor the plan to meet individual needs. And I know that that's really going to be the beyond part that we're kind of talking about toward the end of the show, because I think it's really important for people to understand kind of some of the basic estate planning that really kind of applies to everyone. So can you kind of start talking a little bit about some of the basics of estate planning?
Sure. So I think the easiest way just to think about estate planning is management and control of your assets and debts. What is happening with them while I'm alive and what's going to happen to them when I die. And there are a number of tools we typically use. The most basic set of tools that everybody really should have is a will, a power of attorney for assets, and a power of attorney for healthcare.
Okay. And sometimes people will also say, so a power of attorney for healthcare, there's also people will say whatever health directors, living will, that's kind of part of that as well.
Yes. And the phrase living will probably does more damage than it intends to do, because there are people that think they have a will because they have a living will. And there are people that have a will that think they also have a living will. So, you know, a living will is another way of saying an advance directive. What is going to happen when I'm in an end stage condition? What directive do I want to give to healthcare providers or my agent in those situations?
Okay, so it's important to pay attention to these items before you're in a situation that would require them, and now you don't have the capacity to implement the wishes the way you'd like. So folks, it's very important, as Ryan was saying earlier, for young people, when you're in those early years. And it's mostly very, very important for you, especially if you have children or if maybe you haven't updated those documents or beneficiary designations or joint titling or asset titling when you're newly married. Quite often people still will have their parents as the beneficiaries and forget that now that they're married, they might want to change that to their spouse. So lots to pay attention to. We are talking about estate planning basics tonight. And as we go through the show, we will dig more into the details. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C. She'll answer the phone, write it down, and bring it into us. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY thanks its members. That you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about estate planning basics this evening with attorney Ryan Fields from King Spry right here in Bethlehem. Thank you for joining us, Ryan, and helping inform our listening audience about something that everyone should be doing. I mean, it would be my wish and my desire for everyone in the Lehigh Valley to do their estate planning. So sometimes people think they've done their estate planning. They hear about terms like probate and non-probate and, oh, I'm doing everything non-probate, and therefore they think they've done their estate planning and they think they know what non-probate means. You mentioned something about asset titling. Can you kind of give us a primer on different ways people can pass assets and what probate and non-probate means in that concept?
Sure. And I think initially I just want to say in Pennsylvania, probate really shouldn't be a scary term for people. There are some states where probate is much more onerous and going through the court process to wind down your estate after you die. But in Pennsylvania, it's really not as complicated as some people might think that it is. A probate asset is something that is going to pass through your estate to individuals. Really, the easiest way to say it is a non-probate asset is something where you can name a beneficiary, so an IRA, a retirement account, anywhere where you can designate a beneficiary, and also jointly titled assets. And probate assets are things that we might own, like just a regular cash checking account, our personal property, and our real estate, other items like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So non-probate, there's a way to know who it goes to, either through asset titling or beneficiary designation. Those items that don't have that, then we have to look to the will to see who gets them. So
right.
That's probate.
Right.
So what do you say to folks who might think that they can avoid doing a will just by using asset titling or beneficiary designations?
Sure. So I'd say that they're half right, or at least their intentions are in the right place, because certainly you want to title assets in the most effective way. So if you're a married couple, it's, as long as you're comfortable with it, a prudent step to have jointly titled assets so that they can pass to the surviving spouse. And if you're using beneficiary designations and assets are passing to intended beneficiaries, that is a good way of planning. But at some point in time, both of you are going to be deceased. And without a will, you are leaving it to the state of Pennsylvania to dictate where those assets are going to go and who then would be in charge of handling your estate. So having a will is really a vital tool in controlling where your assets are going, because that's when you're in control. State of Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is not in control.
Right. So that's a great point I think you just mentioned. So if it's a husband and wife and you have you know, the asset titling in order and the beneficiary designations in order, they might think they have it covered. But if something happens, not just at the second to die, but sometimes we have a tragic accident and both husband and wife or spouses, both spouses pass. And so in that case, that is really important to have the will. And sometimes people don't follow all the threads, right?
I mean, absolutely.
And when you're going through your intake process or working with clients, you're talking to them about that, right? Like, what happens if something happens to the spouse? What happens if something happens to the children?
Right. And, you know, you don't go too far down the rabbit hole, typically. Depending, I mean, if people want to get creative, you can. Mm-hmm. But certainly you want to know who's there. Who are your children if you have children? Are there grandchildren? You know, what does the family tree look like? Who are beneficiaries that you want your estate to go to after spouse?
Mm-hmm. And so part of that control, when we say you can't control from the grave, the will does help control from the grave a little bit.
Absolutely.
So in that will, if there are grandchildren, you as the attorney can help draft that language that might help avoid a minor child from inheriting before they're ready to.
Absolutely. And we talked about beneficiary designations, and sometimes there are cases in which, you know, you have everything in your will that is what your intent would be, but the beneficiary designation, maybe it goes to spouse and then it goes to children, but it doesn't go to grandchildren. So if you have a predeceased child, and while you might intend for that child's children to then take their share, whatever investment company, their, you know, go-to form just says, no, we're going to split to the surviving children, and that might not be your intention. So you have to take care in each of these accounts, and each of these investments you have, and at your estate generally, to make sure that your intention is being carried out.
Okay. It's interesting, you know, you mentioned the beneficiary designations, and if something, maybe a child predeceases you, you want to be careful about the naming of beneficiaries in case you wanted it to go to a grandchild. Can we talk for a minute about contingent beneficiary designations too? Because there's something that, you know, terms that lawyers, financial advisors might be aware of that our listeners and the general public might not be aware of. And that's something called the use of a disclaimer. So, I mean, beneficiary designations can also come into play, not just if, unfortunately, your child predeceases you and you want it to go to your grandchild, but there may be times when you want your child to get maybe some assets, but it might not be a good idea for them to get them. Maybe they have too much wealth themselves. Maybe they would rather not take it. So can we talk just for a second? I don't want to get too complicated because we have about a couple minutes before our next break. The importance of not just primary beneficiaries, but contingent beneficiaries.
Right, right.
Can you talk for a minute about
that? Sure.
So again, sometimes people are doing this on their own, and I think it's really important to work with your attorney to know when it makes sense to do these kinds of things.
So the contingent beneficiary is, if you want to think about it, so in terms of primary beneficiary, that's the first individual or multiple individuals and maybe even charities, whoever it is that you initially want to have some share of that account. We'll just use account generally here. The contingent beneficiary is, okay, that primary beneficiary can't take. So now who are we naming? And instead of relying on just the company's
default.
Default, which sometimes can default to the estate, which we don't want,
right?
Generally speaking, it's very important to have that contingent backup beneficiary in there who we would then want to receive that share of the account.
And so the primary can say, they can make a disclaimer if the circumstances arise and say, I don't want it. And
right.
Then the contingent steps in. So it's not that primary beneficiary who gets to decide who it goes to. That decedent or account owner is getting to decide who the backup is to the primary.
Yes, the disclaimer just, I mean, colloquially is basically as though that person predeceased.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. There was something else I wanted to ask you as you were going through that, and I'll have to come back to it. Folks, we have we're coming up on our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about estate planning basics this evening. So if you have questions about wills, power of attorney, beneficiary designations, tonight would be a great night to call. In Pennsylvania, we do also have a Pennsylvania inheritance tax. If you're not aware of that, that's something that could inspire you to go do your estate planning to make sure that you're aware of what might happen in those situations. And we're speaking with Ryan Fields, attorney with King Spry, this evening. And again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Laurie Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY.org. And we have in the studio with us this evening Ryan Fields, an attorney with King Spry, who focuses his practice on estate planning and estate administration. Ryan, we're talking about some of the estate planning basics. We've touched on probate, non-probate, a little bit of asset titling, beneficiary designations. I want to kind of delve a little bit into having a will versus not having a will. You mentioned that if you don't have a will, the government decides. We call that term like intestate. So they don't have a will, it's intestate. Can you talk for a minute about intestate? Because we're trying to inspire people to do estate planning tonight. So.
Yes, and I do find it effective when you say the government has decided for you. It is an effective tool for convincing people. But so if you were to die without a will, and let's be frank, about 50% of people do, sadly, then not only have you not made your choices for what happens to your estate when you die, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, through its intestacy statute, has decided who will get what share of your estate. And it can create a number of issues. It can involve people that, if you were to have a will, maybe they're not even on speaking terms, and now they are beneficiaries of your estate, mm-hmm. and can cause a lot of issues. It can involve assets going up the ladder to parents when you may have never attended that, and they wouldn't have intended it either. So it really overcomplicates a situation that you can simplify by having a good conversation with an estate planning attorney and getting your documents in order.
Well, I saw a circumstance once where someone had passed away, did not have surviving parents, did not have a spouse, and did not have children. And a cousin was brought in and worked with the attorney's office to find all of these distant relatives. And there were cousins on one side, cousins on the other side. Most of them didn't even know each other. And it was quite complicated and dragged it out. Now, you might say, if you're the person who dies, who cares? But at the same time, maybe you were someone who might have had an alma mater or a favorite charity or a nonprofit or someone who loves animals, and you could have directed your money in a way that you would have desired. And instead, it's going to people we don't even know.
And I think that a lot of people who do not have a will either are uncomfortable thinking about their own death, mm-hmm. and not wanting to approach those conversations. And also they sort of belittle their own estate or their own value and think, I don't have very much, I don't need to have a will. Well, you know, that, first of all, might not be true. And second of all, you can still be in control so that when you're no longer around, you've chosen who's in charge of managing your estate. And you don't have to, you know, concern other relatives that you, maybe you do care for, but you don't want to burden them with the responsibility that comes along with handling somebody's estate.
Right. And a point that you made as well was that sometimes people think they don't have anything, and they sometimes will forget that there might be a lot of value in real estate, or they may end up having something happen to them that they have. There was an accident and there's a lawsuit and now the estate is money. So that's another reason why you'd want to have a will kind of as a safety net, you know, in case there's something that you didn't take care of. Now, we had a couple questions come in from Bill in Allentown. His first question was, how much does a will and a living will cost? It depends.
It depends. The most famous attorney answer to any question. I don't think that it's appropriate to specifically answer that question, but I would say that it's probably not as much as you'd think.
Right. That's a good answer, and it really does depend on the circumstances as well.
And the value will pay for itself as opposed to not having a will.
There you go. What is his second question, and I'm not sure I quite understand the question. What is the fee strategy for the attorney after passing, and how does that affect the other beneficiaries? So I'm thinking, what they're asking is, are there attorney fees to help administrate the estate? And how does that affect the beneficiaries? Meaning, you know, is that coming out of the estate?
So I can't give absolute numbers. What I can say is that, you know, if you were to hire an attorney to assist you managing estate, so the person responsible for managing the estate is the personal representative, also known as executor or executrix. And if you're to hire an attorney to help you with that administration, they're going to charge a fee for that. And it's likely either going to be an hourly or maybe some percentage. Mm-hmm. And again, that would be associated with administering the estate a fee that is deducted from the overall estate. So actually it would be reducing the amount of potential inheritance taxes that are owed, if you want to think of a positive on it. But really you're getting professional advice on how to handle a situation that people don't handle very much.
And what sometimes happens too that people don't realize, you know, everyone gets along when mom or grandma or grandpa or dad are alive. And all of a sudden, a parent dies and the family or the children are inheriting. And all of a sudden, there could be infighting, there could be arguing. And it's really nice to have an attorney in your court to kind of help manage, first of all, what needs to be communicated to the beneficiaries. Right, Ryan? I mean,
absolutely.
Do you see those circumstances?
Yeah, but these aren't situations that we find ourselves in often. And it's really critical to have that professional advice and to be able to ask any question regarding the estate to somebody that either knows the answer or knows how to find the answer to that question. But as you said, either managing expectations or managing relationships, because in some ways it's like a divorce in the sense that you're distributing property.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody might want one thing and somebody might want another, and you're trying to manage those relationships. Sometimes it goes really well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it doesn't, and having that professional there to sort of be the referee in some ways is extremely valuable.
And another reason why pre-planning and controlling it while you still can is critical as well. We had a question come in a long time ago. I was looking up, this gentleman had sent me a recent question, and I had found that he had sent me one back in 2018, and I thought, wow, it's part of our topic tonight, and I thought, let's see if we can look at this quickly. And he had asked, would you please include information pertinent to childless couples, particularly when close to retirement? There are a lot of us out here. Are trusts the best way to plan? What are the options postmortem if no trusted friends or relatives, organizations, lawyers? So he had a bunch of questions around that. But what would you say? People often think that estate planning is providing for the surviving spouse and children, but that is not always the case. So can you just speak to the number of different scenarios you might have in estate planning and how the attorney addresses your particular situation.
Sure. So while it may seem as though a family with children is vastly different from a family that doesn't have children, they're really not, because there are those individuals who have children who disinherit them for good or bad reasons. There could be other beneficiaries of those individuals that receive a higher share than their children do. So really what you're doing is saying, this is where I want my estate to go, and here's who I would want to manage that at the time when I'm no longer here. So if you don't have children, that's perfectly fine for a number of reasons. But secondly, it doesn't make planning any different. It just makes maybe your answers different. So maybe you're using charitable organizations. Maybe there's another organization that's important to you. Maybe there are friends. There's nothing wrong with giving your estate to your best friend.
Right.
So you're just changing the names and the relationships. It doesn't mean that your planning is so vastly different.
Okay, great. Great answer. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1, Allentown, it's 6:30. Your current temperature in Lehigh Valley is 64. Tonight, after 7 o'clock, we may have a little bit of rain, patchy fog. After 9, a low around 59. Thursday, more rain, patchy fog before 2 p.m., high near 72. And for your Thursday night, showers, possible thunderstorms, mainly before 5 a.m. Those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain, low around 49. And leading into your weekend on Friday, a chance of showers mainly before 7 a.m., but it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 54. Friday night, clear with a low around 33. Saturday, sunny with a high near 53. And for your Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 35. And for Sunday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 50. Now, back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air. If you're more comfortable, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into us. And I'm talking this evening with Ryan Fields, an estate planning attorney at King Spry. Ryan, let's talk about the documents now. So the will, the basics of the will first.
Sure. So usually what you're going to have in your will is you're going to sometimes people identify their family members. You're going to say how you might want taxes as a result of your death paid. You are going to identify the individual who will be responsible for handling your estate, the personal representative or executor. You are also going to, if you want to give specific gifts or bequests, we might call them, to individuals or organizations, you might identify them there. And then otherwise just disposing of your estate. Who do you want your estate to go to? Who are the beneficiaries? You might also address what powers you want your executive or personal representative to have. And those are really the fundamental things. If you have younger children, you might also want to identify who you'd want to name as a guardian for your children on the second to die of you and the other parent. So those are really the most fundamental things that you're going to find.
Okay. Shandi, we have a caller on line one. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Quick question. My husband and I did our wills and got all our documents in order a couple years ago. And occasionally I'm thinking that maybe I want to change my person who would handle my affairs, like if both of us were incapacitated. Obviously, if something happened to me, it would be my husband. But mm-hmm. if it were both of us, like a car accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're not changing your will, right? You're just changing the person who would take care of the advance directives.
Okay.
And how hard is that to do? Because you're not really changing your will, right?
Right.
Right. Sure.
Go ahead.
So that's a good question, Carolyn. really what you're doing, and because, you know, it's important to remember, these documents are revocable, changeable at any time, as long as you have capacity to do so. As long as you have capacity, you can do a new power of attorney for your assets. So who's going to handle your assets when you and your husband don't have capacity or unable to do so? That backup individual. Same thing for healthcare. Who's your agent in a healthcare situation who's going to be communicating with doctors, getting your records, making sure that you're getting the care you want? And how hard is it to change those? It's not hard. Just to talk to an estate planning attorney and have them write up new documents for you and identify who that other individual is who you want to name as your successor agent or your backup agent for assets and for healthcare.
You know, Carolyn, that was a great question because, you know, as you were asking it, I realized you often hear about people wanting to change maybe one thing in their will, and an attorney might suggest a codicil, which is like just kind of like an addendum. Ryan can call it something else. I'm not an attorney. But, you know, the codicil is just changing one thing. But I never thought about it, as Carolyn has asked, about changing the person in either the healthcare power of attorney or the power of attorney. So, Carolyn, if you could stay on just for one second. So, Ryan, if for a will you could have a change and maybe it would just require a codicil, mm-hmm. maybe you could address that. So these documents, it's not really a codicil. They would change the name.
Yeah, it's not a codicil. I would really just advise doing a new document, tearing up the old one and doing a new power of attorney for assets and a new power of attorney for healthcare. And even in the context of a will where you could do a codicil to change one thing or two things, sometimes even that can overcomplicate things, and it can be just as effective and efficient just to do a new will.
Okay. So good, Carolyn. Thank you for that question.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the answer, and I think this is a great topic for the eve of Halloween.
Good point.
Thanks
okay, Carolyn,
again.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Carolyn.
So the will, I wrote a note down when you were talking about the basics of the will, because here again is one of the reasons you want to use an attorney. So many people try to write these documents themselves through these software that they can buy online. At least they have something. But what I want to address here, as you said, they may have a little clause that talks about who's paying the taxes. And usually what we're talking about there is paying the inheritance tax. And that could be critical to have that conversation with a client when they're talking about distributing their assets, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because really in the state of Pennsylvania right now, spouses are taxed at a 0% rate. It wasn't always that way. But right now, cross your fingers, and it stays that way if you're married. Children, lineal descendants, children, parents down the line, 4.5%. And then it goes on to siblings and then others, 12%, 15% respectively. So, you know, we have what's called the residue of our estate. And oftentimes we're paying taxes out of there. And we also have non-probate assets that we talked about. And maybe those assets are going to other individuals that are taxed at different rates. So we have the ability to say, where do we want the money to pay for those taxes to come from, to distribute it how we want it to go, rather than just relying on the generic statute for tax payment?
Yeah, because some people might not realize how important that might be. I have seen where someone might pass away of wealth, and maybe they had a close sibling, and they might say a specific $100,000 to my brother and everything else to my kids. If they don't have that inheritance clause, the inheritance tax to the sibling, as you said, was 12%.
Right.
That's $12,000. Well, if the only thing left in the estate, if the whole estate was $150,000, they forgot that they've used all their assets and they have a specific gift of $100,000 to their brother. $100,000 goes out first because specific gifts go out
right.
first. And then $12,000 goes for the inheritance tax on that, and there's not a lot of residue left. So that's why it's important.
Yeah, that would be a tough day for the kids.
Extreme example
yes.
to demonstrate talking about.
But it shows why it's so important to stay on top of these things and why we remind clients regularly every few years what's happened, what's changed. And if I have a $100,000 bequest, what does my estate look like now? Maybe I could have made that then. Can I still make that?
Right. Good point. So basics of the will. Let's talk about the basics of the power of attorney, because you said what things have changed in someone's estate and own circumstances, but sometimes what has changed in, you know, the laws and statutes that we have. So power of attorney, basics of that, and why it might be important to look at that.
Sure. So financial power of attorney, really what you're doing is you are appointing an agent and advisedly a successor agent to handle and have really the ability to do with your assets and debts generally what you could do if you had capacity or were able to do so. So, you know, most commonly you're going to give powers to handle your bank accounts. Maybe you're going to give some gifting powers, powers to loan. This is basically what you can do with your money. Now this person can do it because you're unable to. And often we find ourselves as the agent for our parents or for another individual that needs that assistance. And so that's really the functionality and what you're going to see in a financial power of attorney. For a healthcare power of attorney, similar in the sense that you're appointing an agent, somebody to act on your behalf when you're unable to do so. You know, it's important to remember that in a healthcare context, you're really in the driver's seat. You're in control as long as you're competent. As long as you can understand what your doctors are telling you and you can communicate to them what your decisions are, you're really going to be in control.
So your kids can't come in and say, pull the plug.
No, no.
If you're screaming, no, no. Sorry.
No, no. It always comes down to pulling the plug.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can't do it any more prematurely than you might want to let them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was, you know, in the past several years, some updated legislation for powers of attorney. And so there are some specific powers that really need to be kind of named in the updated powers of attorney, like gifting and
yes.
disclaimers and things like that.
Yes.
So, if I understand it correctly, people don't have to rush in and necessarily update or change those powers of attorney that they might have had prior to that recent update in the statute?
So, yeah, there was the changes to some of those powers as well as the notice that would go on an asset management power of attorney. And, you know, it's important to regularly review these with your estate planning attorney, generally speaking. You know, different attorneys draft them differently, so it's hard for me to say that everybody needs to be concerned when there's a change in the law. Sometimes attorneys will just say, my agent shall have all the powers that are available to them under such and such statute, trying to cover all their bases. But as we know, like you said, statutes can change. So that's why it's important to regularly review your documents to make sure that you're doing what you want to accomplish.
Are the law firms proactive in reaching out to their clients about updating documents, or do you rely on the clients to come to you?
Well, I can't speak to other firms, but I know that at Kingsbury we do send letters when there are major changes in the law. And every, like I said before, you know, generally every 2 or 3 years, we're going to reach out and just say, hey, how you doing? Any changes from your end?
Okay, great. So we've talked a bit about wills, powers of attorney, healthcare powers of attorney, trust. So many people, you know, hear from their friends or their neighbors that, you know, I have to have a trust. I can't tell you how often I hear this. I have to have a trust. My sister told me I had to have a trust. My aunt told me I had to have a trust. My aunt from Michigan's calling me, telling me that my mother has to have a trust. So can you talk a little bit about trust? And, you know, we could do a whole show on just one kind of trust, but kind of in a nutshell, what is the point of a trust? And again, the importance of talking to an attorney about the applicability of it for your particular situation.
Sure. And I'm so glad you posed it that in the way that you did, because it became very sort of trendy to advise people at a certain time that they should have these living trusts, and everybody got a handy dandy binder with everything imaginable in it. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time looking at people who come in with those binders and seeing what is and isn't in those trusts. But really, you know, a trust is just another way of controlling and managing your property. And whether it's the right thing for you to have really depends on your individual needs and your circumstances and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, sometimes we can have a trust while we're alive, a living trust, inter vivos trust. And like you said, they come in many different shapes and sizes. And functions, but you are taking certain property and giving the authority to your trustee to manage that property and saying what you want done with that property. So yes, you can do that during your life. You can also do what's called a testamentary trust. So you can build a trust into your will, or maybe a trust that's only going to take effect when you die, and serving the same purpose. You are saying, here's how long I want these assets to remain in trust. Here's who I want them to go to under these circumstances. So it's a way of taking control. And testamentary, taking control beyond the grave during life, taking control during your life. But also, you know, not to get too into the weeds, but there are, you know, maybe tax reasons why you might want to utilize a trust, charitable purposes. So there are so many different reasons why you might want one, but I certainly would never say that trusts are something that everyone should have.
Right. And what's important to point out, too, you mentioned testamentary trust. And earlier in the show, we were talking about those young couples, maybe who are in that nesting stage, maybe starting families who have young children, talking about guardianship, but also if assets were to come to that child, you talk about testamentary trust. That's something that you can kind of put in the will in the event something happens, to kind of manage the assets for those minor children. And that's typically where you see some testamentary trust around minor children.
Absolutely. And that's a really good tool to use, especially for younger couples who, you know, God forbid anything were to happen. Hopefully they have life insurance or some ability to provide for those children when they're no longer here. If they do have those types of assets available, the testamentary trust is a great way to control how long those assets are going to be out of the hands of your children and under the control of somebody who's a bit more responsible until you feel like your children would be of age to handle the kind of money that they're going to inherit.
Great, great. Folks, we are at our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking with Ryan Fields, attorney with King Spry. And when we come back, we're going to talk about when do we typically see a need for really more comprehensive planning, some situations that might arise. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Rosalie.
And Steve.
Join us and other hosts each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Swing Sunday, a great mix of swing, big band, and classic vocals.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. And I'd like to point out that podcasts of prior shows are also available at WDIY.org or YourFinancialChoices.com. We have in the studio with us this evening Ryan Fields, attorney with King Spry, focusing his practice on estate planning and estate administration. And hopefully we've inspired some folks and listeners tonight to pay attention to your own estate planning. I always like to say, if you plan, nothing happens. Well, at least for a while. And, you know, we're eventually all going to go. And if we start realizing that, then we might do some planning a little sooner. So very important to do your estate planning, and especially for young couples. And if we have listeners who might have children, who are starting their families, who haven't done planning, this is a great time to talk to them and ask them, have you done your planning? And for folks who don't have children, as we were saying earlier with Ryan, that you still have a lot of control over what you have, and your estate planning is just as important as it is for those who have families that they may have to provide for. So, Ryan, let's jump into some kind of examples or details of some stories. So let me see if I can tell you a situation. So someone is trying to do their own estate planning. Maybe they worked with an attorney some time ago and thought they were in, you know, a particular set of situation. So they've named their children or spouses. Typically, if you're married, you name your spouse. And then hopefully they've named contingent beneficiaries. And quite often we find that people do not name contingent. And I'm a big proponent of naming contingent beneficiaries. So let's say this person did primary, spouse, contingent children on their retirement accounts. And that looks great. In their will, they name their spouse, but if their spouse does not survive them, they have one part to child A. We're going to have three children here. One part to child A outright, one part in trust for child B with income over that child's lifetime, and principal is needed. And then the third part for child C has special provisions because they're special needs. So we've got three outright beneficiaries to the children if a spouse dies equally. And then you read the will and you've got one outright, one in trust, income during life, principal is needed, and one in trust for special needs.
Yes. And this is, it's a fantastic example because it's something that we see far too often, unfortunately, which is someone with the best of intentions has planned, but their plan is out of alignment. So this individual wants everything to go to their children if their spouse can't take. And they've said that in their accounts by designating their children as beneficiaries. But then in their will, they have a trust for the one child and then presumably another trust potentially for the child with special needs. And so what's going to happen is the shares that would go to those children out of that retirement account are just going to go to those children. And they're not going to go to the trustee under the will. And it's completely out of alignment and not what they intended to do. Unfortunately, this is just a common circumstance. And so what you really need to take great care in is making sure that your estate plan is fully aligned and that your intention both in your will and in your beneficiary designations are alike mm-hmm. and aligned.
Can I ask you a question? If someone comes in for estate planning and let's say they have children and they say, hey, we need a document. We have a two-year-old. We want to make sure they're provided for. We have $2,000 in the bank, and I work at a job, and I have $50,000 of life insurance. Now, you might want to send them to an insurance agent for life insurance, but you as the attorney, if you're just drafting the documents, are you kind of raising some awareness to them in providing for their family as well as part of that estate planning? I'm just curious.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I mean, to me, it is a... You know, it's an all-inclusive sort of holistic approach to not just what do you want to do with what you have, but, you know, are there ways that you can take easy, effective steps to, like you said, maybe you're underinsured from a life insurance perspective. So this is something that you can consider, talk to somebody. You clearly have some relationship with somebody who's giving you life insurances through your employer, but think more about that. Because, you know, that's something that your children are going to need, and it's something that you can do now while you're planning.
Okay, great. I'm going to just give the number one more time in case we have any questions. 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. And you can send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. And we probably wouldn't get to those before the end of the show, but I certainly could share those with Ryan after the show. So I have another situation when we're going into the beyond the basics here. Here's an example. Client has all their documents in order, and they want to do some charitable giving that they hadn't previously discussed as part of their estate planning. So they already came to you, did all their documents. 5 years later, maybe they inherited themselves. Who knows? Or maybe they got a big bonus. So now they decide they want to be charitable. Why might they want to share this information with their attorney?
Sure. The fastest or easiest way to answer that is because that charitable giving, you can do it most effectively either maybe while you're alive or upon your passing, and there are tax things to think about there. So you have all your documents in order, but now you're inserting another beneficiary. How does that change the puzzle pieces now? What does that change the picture? So it's important to now include that in the conversation. What's the most effective way that we can do that charitable giving that's effective both for the charity and as well as for yourself?
Perfect. And save some income taxes as well. We're burying the lead there. Okay, we have a caller from Easton, Doug, but he's in Dayton, Ohio right now. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How can we help you?
So my question has to do to kind of begin about going back and forth between the benefits of having the estate in the trust versus having the estate in a will. Mm-hmm. And so I have a situation where I have left one of my two children out of the will, I'm just wondering if it would be better to just not have a will at all and put everything into a trust, which, as I understand it, just basically avoids probate. It avoids any potential contesting. Is that a misconception on my part?
Well, I can speak from a Pennsylvania perspective. I know you're in Ohio. I don't know if that's where
you are. No, I actually live in Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right. So in some circumstances, we spoke a little bit about it before, about avoiding probate and how it's really nothing to be too scared of. If you're going to be putting it into a revocable trust, there's going to be an inheritance tax return, and the cat's going to be out of the bag at that point anyway about what your trust, how it was being distributed. Children don't have a right to inherit. So as much as one of your children may be upset about what your choice is, that's your choice. And they don't have what would be called the spousal election. So spouses have a right to a certain percentage of the estate. Children don't have that right. So, it's not necessary to consider a trust just because of concerns that a child might challenge the will. Really, will challenges, you're looking at, did that person have capacity? Were they under undue influence? Was somebody, forcing them to do something they didn't have the intent of what they said? If you're in good health and that nobody has any basis to challenge what you did, your child just really, that's your choice that they would have to deal with.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Doug? So I think too, Ryan's saying, especially if you go to an attorney and you've documented all of the conversations and the documents are written up, there's also not necessarily as big of a chance to contest, whereas if someone wrote something in handwritten or typed it up on their computer, that would be more when you would see those kinds of situations, Ryan?
I mean, certainly if you're doing a self-drawn will, which you're entitled to do, but if you're going to an attorney, maybe your child sees it as a more official-looking document, but really, you're going to be presumed to have done or chosen and with the intent that you had. And I certainly understand your concern, Doug, but maybe for your situation, a trust makes sense for other reasons, but I wouldn't want you to think I need to do a trust because I'm concerned about my other child challenging my choices here.
Okay. Makes sense.
That does. It makes sense perfectly and helps to alleviate a little concern that I've had. But I think your suggestion with all of this going on, talking to an attorney about how all of this unfolds is probably worth doing instead of, as you said earlier, the online draw my own will kind of process. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Doug, thank you for your call and thank you for listening so long distance. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Have a good night. Bye. One other comment to Doug's point as well is sometimes, what I like to remind people of is sometimes you don't know what questions to ask. And sometimes the most important question is the one you don't know to ask. So going to an attorney can help kind of bring issues to the fore for you to plan around, meaning you don't know what the issue might be.
Certainly, and it's so common that, an individual come into your office or your conference room and sort of just be a little bit scatterbrained about everything that they want to accomplish, and, they've never done this before, they never sat with an attorney before, and this is something that we do. This is what we do every day, and we know what kind of conversation we need to have, what questions are most fundamental and important, and it's a conversation because it's really, ultimately, it's a relationship that you have with your client. And you're trying to put on paper what is in their heart. And so, you know, having that conversation many times with many different clients, you know, sharpens your sword, so to speak, and you know even better ways to get that information out of that client.
That's a great way to kind of summarize what working with an attorney would be, and I appreciate from your perspective as well, Ryan. We're almost at the end of our show. We have about a minute left. If people are interested in learning more about you, your firm, or what you do, what is the phone number to call?
610-332-0390.
610-332-0390
will be the number at King Spry. And I'm glad I remembered it when you put me on the spot to remember that.
It's like your
parent. Oh my goodness. It's like, what's my social security number?
And what's the website?
Kingspry.com. I know that one.
Kingspry.com.
Yes.
Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you this evening.
Yes, it
Thank
has.
You so much. It was Ryan's first trip here to Your Financial Choices, and you did marvelously. So
thank you
so much. And we certainly hope that we inspired this evening some folks to get out there and do their estate planning. And speak with an attorney and your advisor to make sure that you are directing your assets the way that you want them to go, and take that control now while you can, right?
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Ryan. Doug, thank you for your call. Carolyn, thank you for your call. And Bill, we really appreciate our listeners. Thank you so much. Next week, I'm talking about health savings accounts and flexible savings accounts, understanding the differences. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want to thank Shondi for being here and Lori C. for answering the calls as well. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.